Thank you for tuning in to Creeper House's Home in the Dark. And today I have a weird blue light. Somebody fell from a loft. A little black dog. And that's it for today. There is a Scary Stories Told in the Dark movie coming out. Make sure that you check it out, because you'll know most of the stories probably from me reading them out to you guys, people who listen. And yeah, hopefully you'll be able to criticize it and be able to compare and contrast the story differences from like the movie and the book. And make sure you go see it when it comes out.
A weird blue light.
Late one night in October 1864, a Confederate blockade runner slipped by some Union gunboats at the entrance to Galveston Bay in Texas and made it safely to port with its cargo for food and other necessities. Louis Billings, the master of the small vessel, was getting ready to weigh anchor when he was startled by a shriek from one of the crew. A strange old-fashioned schooner with a big black flag was rushing down at us, Billings said later. She was afire with a sort of weird pale blue light that lighted up every nook and cranny of her. The crew was pulling all the ropes and doing other work, and they paid us no attention, didn't even glance our way. They all had ghastly bleeding wounds, but their faces and eyes were those of dead men. The woman who had shrieked had fallen to her knees, her teeth clattering as he gasped out a prayer. Overcoming my own terror that was chilling the very marrow of my bones, I rushed forward shouting to the others. As I ran, suddenly the schooner vanished before my eyes. Some say that it was the ghost of Jean Lafitte's pirate ship Parade that sank off Galveston Island in 1821. Or 1822. She was seen again in 1892 in the same waters with the same exact crew.
Somebody fell from a loft.
I had signed on as an ordinary seaman on the falls of Ettrick, a merchant ship bound from England. The first time I saw that ship, I knew her right away. She was the old Grenoud Spurship I had sailed on her years before, when she was painted brown and gold, but now she was painted black and had a new name. But it was the same ship for sure. We had a pretty good crew for that voyage, except for one hard-looking ticket named McLaren. He was a pretty good seaman, but there was something about him that I didn't trust. He was kind of secretive, kept mostly to himself. One day, somebody told him that I worked on the Grenoud for some reason. He got all a tremble, ugly black look, as if he was itching a knife right in my back. I guess it had something to do with the Grenoud that I didn't want that but I didn't want to know what. Well, this one day, was trying to work our way through a dripping black fog. We had all the lights on, but it was dead calm. There was a breath of fresh air. The ship just lay there, wallowing in and through a rolling and a rolling, going no hears. I was standing my watch around midship, and McLaren was doing his trick at a wheel. The rest of the crew was scattered around one place and another. It was as quiet as could be. Then all at once, whack! This thing hits our deck in front of McLaren. He lets go a screech that turns my blood cold, and he falls down in a faint. The second mate starts yelling that somebody had fallen from aloft, laying out there just forward of the wheel. Was someone or something dressed in oilskins with blood oozing from underneath? The captain ran and fetched a big light from his cabin, as we could see who it was. That they kind of straightened him out to get a good look at his face. He was a big, ugly-looking devil, but nobody knew who he was or what he was doing up there. At least nobody was saying. When McLaren came to from his faint, they tried to get something out of him. All he did was jabber away and keep rolling those big, wild-looking eyes of his. Everyone was getting more and more excited. We all wanted to heave the body aboard as quickly as we could, but there was nothing weird. There was something weird about it, as if it wasn't real. But the captain wasn't so sure about getting rid of it that way. Could it be a stowaway? He asked. But the ship was so filled with lumber we were carrying, there was no space where a living could be hid for 3 weeks, which is how long we had been out. Even if it was a stowaway, what was it doing aloft on such a dirty day? There was no reason for anyone to be up there. There was nothing to see. Finally, the captain gave up and told us to leave him aboard. Then nobody touched him. The mate ordered us to pick him up, but nobody made a move. Then he tried coaxing, but that didn't do any good. Suddenly, Looney McLaren starts yelling. I handled him once, and I can handle him again. He picks up the body and staggers over the railing with it. He is just about to throw it aboard when it wraps his two big, long arms around him, and over they go in together. Then, on the way down, one of them starts laughing in a horrible way. The mates are yelling to launch a boat, but nobody would get into a boat. Not on a night like this. Not on a night like that. We threw a couple of life preservers out after them, but nobody knew they wouldn't help. So that was that, or was it? The first chance I had to go after that, I went right over to the captain. Sour Shoe, who was captain when the Grenette was around. "Well," he said, "one trip, these two outlandish men shipped aboard the Grenade. One was McLaren, the other was a really big fella. The big one was always picking on McLaren and thumping him around. When McLaren was always talking about how he would get back at him, well, this wet, dirty night, the two of them was up there alone. And there was one, and the big one came flying down, killed himself, dearin' or hearin'. McLaren says the foot rope they were using parted and how he almost fell himself, but everybody who saw that rope knew she didn't give away on her own. She had been cut through with a knife. After that, whenever we came into port, McLaren thought he were going to get the police after him, and that he'd get pretty scared, but we couldn't prove anything, so we didn't try. In the end, I guess the big fella took care of things in his own way. If he was a ghost that came back, that's what he was. If there be big things like ghosts."
The Little Black Dog.
Billy Mansfield said that a little black dog followed him wherever he went, but he was the only one who saw it, so people thought he was kind of crazy. To drive the dog away, Billy was always hollering at it, throwing rocks at it, but the dog always came back. The first time Billy saw that dog was the day he fought Silas Bittern. Billy was still a young man then, but the Bitterns in Billy's family had been feuding for years. When Billy saw Silas riding toward him, he went for his gun and Burton went for his. Billy fired first. He hit Burton in the back, knocking him down from his horse. Burton's horse ran off, and the gun fell where he couldn't reach it. They lay there on the ground, pleading with Billy not to kill him. But Billy killed him always. Burton's little black dog was always with them when he was shot. The dog kept licking Burton's face, the barking and snarling at Billy in his anger. Billy killed the dog, too. There wasn't much law enforcement in those days, so Billy wasn't arrested. But all that night, he heard Burton's dog outside his cabin, scratching on his door, barking to be let in. "I'm imagining things," Billy said to himself. "I shot that dog. It's dead." But the next morning, Billy saw the dog. It was waiting for him outside. From then on was not a day when he didn't see it. And there wasn't a night when he didn't hear it scratching on his door, barking to be let in. From then on, Billy was always finding black dog hairs on the sofa, on the floor, and in his bed, even in his food. And the house in the yard stank of dog. That's what Billy said Whenever someone told him there wasn't any dog to see, he'd say, "Maybe you don't see it, but I do, and I'm not any crazier than you are." Things went on like that for many years. Then one morning, in the middle of winter, the neighbors didn't see any smoke coming out of Billy's chimney. When they went over to check, Billy wasn't there. A day or so later, they found his body lying in the snow in a field back of his cabin. Billy had plenty of enemies. At first, it seemed like somebody might have killed him, but there wasn't a mark on his body, and there wasn't any footprints out there except for Billy's. The doctor said Billy probably died from his old age, but there was something odd about his death. When the neighbors found Billy, there was black dog's hair on his clothes. There were even a few on his face. It smelled like a dog had been out there, yet no one had seen a dog anywhere. Thank you for tuning in to Creepypasta Told in the Dark. I've read from More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, collected by Alvin Schwartz. And if you want me to read longer books, I got this book today. It's called Great Ghost Stories, 101 Terrifying Tales, and it's compiled by Stefan, I don't know how to say his last name. And some of the author's stories that are in here, like the author's names of the stories in here. So one of them is H.P. Lovecraft, M.R. James, E.F. Benson, Saki, and many others. I think most people know H.P. Lovecraft, like the big guy who pretty much made horror and stuff.